Look over at somebody on your way to your seat and tell them you look good today. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, we are so privileged to have a pastor with us from Liberia, from West Africa, Pastor Boima. He is taking a couple of moments. He is streaming live. So I want to say right there to you in Liberia, wherever you are, God bless you. We love you and we support you in everything that you do according to the will of God. Amen. Amen. So we are so blessed and so privileged to have somebody with us that has traveled a long, long way. A long, long way. On the table in the back after the service, there is a biography for Pastor Boima. It won't take you long to read it, but I promise you, it will bless your soul. Please, please, please do not leave today without reading it. If you'd like a copy, we'll give you a copy of it. Also, to give you an aspect of the culture, an aspect of the demographics, where he lives at, there is also for you to take a quick look at a piece of paper in the back. He is in the process of opening a Christian school. Amen. Amen. And he is efforting to make it tuition free. Efforting to make it tuition free. On the piece of paper in the back, it has job descriptions. Librarian, teacher, a little bit of a qualification, and it tells you how much that they would be paid per month. I want you to look at that. I want you to look at that. The next time that we want to complain, or the next time that we want to cry out to God, when a librarian is looking at making $30 per month, U.S., it changes how we see the world. It changes how we see people, and it will change how we view our own circumstances. I say all the time, it's not give me, give me, give me. It's not all about me, Lord, but it's about you. Little things like this in his biography proves to us that it's not about us. It is about the Lord. It is about the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, those that are tuning in over Facebook, Lord, those that are here in the seats, God, those that are sick, those that are traveling, we ask that you reach out your hand. We ask that you touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Heal them, Lord, right where they are. Bring them back to your house. Father, we pray for those that are traveling, that they get traveling mercy, they get safety upon their way. Father, we pray for the shut-ins and the ones that can't make it, God. They are not forgotten. They are loved. And Lord, as we reach out to them, Lord, I pray that they receive the love, that they receive your blessing just as they would be sitting here today. Father, I ask that you open every heart and every mind to get a hold of what the pastor has brought to us today, right from your word. And we ask that you change every life, make every one of us a new creature, make us all brand new by the time we leave today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouted, amen, amen. Amen. Without further ado, I want to introduce Pastor Boima Duwa. This man, as I step down, these pieces of paper that tells his story and gives you an idea of the economy, let you know that we are in the land of plenty. We are blessed beyond our imagination. He saw fit to pick up an outfit for me and for my wife to bring and to give as gifts. He's staying at our home. It has been a tremendous blessing. Tremendous blessing. He walked out on my front porch and he said this. He said, if you gave me all of your cars and you gave me your house, I would not stay here. I would go back home to Liberia. And once you see what he's been through, you'll really understand. You'll have revelation. He said, because here I can't help my people, but there I can help show them Jesus. He is the most unselfish man that I have ever met. That is the honest truth. That is the honest truth. He came out on my front porch. He told me that. And I simply said, your sandals are, they're really not, I like them. I want you to know he gave them to me off of his feet. He, just like Joseph of Arimathea, when he gave the tomb to Jesus, he didn't want anything in return. He wouldn't take your house and he wouldn't take your car. He wants to bring you Jesus. And for somebody that is so humble and depends on faith for ministry, depends totally on faith for ministry, he literally took them off of his feet and gave them to me. And I want you to know, as he speaks, open up your heart, because he is genuine, he is true, and you will be blessed. Amen.
One, two. We are there. Hallelujah. One, two.
Father, this morning I come before you just as I am. Don't look at me. Lord, I look up to you. Give me a word for somebody. I know, Lord, that I'm here for somebody. Touch somebody's life today. Their children may not be here, but whatever our children are, your word to touch them. Their family may not be here today in this service, but whatever they are, Lord, I pray this afternoon, this morning, that you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank God for the people of Coushatton. Well, forgive me. Well, my name is, I am Pastor Boyma Duwal. I am from Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa. Bear with me. I'm going to speak a little bit slowly so that you will not grab my African accent, my Liberian accent. Is that okay with you? Or you speak the Liberians, you can make it? No, you will make it. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you today. I am from West Africa. I was born and brought out by my mom and daddy. And my mom and daddy were Muslims. And according to Islamic culture, when you born children, the pastor Christ children, the children are forced to be a Muslims, no matter what. If you don't accept the condition, you either being thrown away from the house or you be slaughtered, one of them, according to Islamic culture. And so my daddy have 12 children. My mom had 12 children, 4 by my dad and the rest by another person. And I grew around about 10 years or 12 in between. They sent me to learn Quran, which I went because according to Islam, we don't believe in Christian education. We don't believe in going to school. They believe in sending the child to Islamic school and then the child go to school and learn about the Quran. So they can root into Quran. All right. And then we were forced to pray 5 times a day. I can do everything. 5 times a day, and we sat the Quran on a daily basis. I would you Allah me and said that Zidin be similar Aramana Himi, Alhamdulillah, you know, like that. You have to say it. Even if you're walking, you are reciting the Quran. Whatever you're doing, you memorize it. And so I went to school very late. Very, very late when my dad died. And my mom raised us up, 1, 2. My mom raised up as a single mother because my dad died and my mom was taking care of us. So then at this time, I had the opportunity to leave from this village to another village. There I got and I met with some missionary friends from Canada. They introduced Christ to me in 1987. And at that time, now, I began to learn ABC. At that time, I was learning ABC. And so I came to know Christ 1987 after my dad died, 84. He died 84. Now I had the opportunity to live from this point to this point. Now my mom didn't, you know, mothers love children, right? My mom didn't have, she didn't have problem with me becoming a Christian. But my dad, see what they were having problem with anybody called Christian. He don't want to hear the name Christian. But when he died, sometimes God will move some people from your way for an opportunity to open. You got that? Sometimes God will move some people from your way, right? For another opportunity. And so when he died, that means he was out of my way for another opportunity. So I was able to give my life to Christ 1987 in a city called Ganta on the Gospel Crusade. And the crusade was being conducted by an American evangelist called Eric. And I give God the glory that he turned me from darkness up to marvelous light. And from 1987 up to today, I have touched 16 countries, make America, preaching and teaching the gospel. In Jesus' name. Now, some of us were born and grew up in the Christian home, but we don't know the Bible. Amen? But some of us wasn't born and grew up in the Christian home. I was born in a village that you don't see light. You can only get lights from the sun. And then we don't have running water. You can only get water from the creek. Some of you know creek. You can get a creek. And when you get to the creek, you have to push the dirt from around the water so it will be clean. You walk in the water and you push the dirt on top of it. Then you dip the water from the creek. Then you move back in town and put a bucket down for people to drink. Meaning that I never drank water from the tap. For some years. Thank God I'm drinking it right now in America. And I never watched television. I never saw TV. I never saw computer. Now, thank God I have one here in America. Amen. And so just to give you briefly who I am a librarian citizen and I am from Liberia. I am somehow a descendant of the slave background in this 18th century or 19th century or 17th century in between. Go and study history. You will learn something about Liberia. Amen? I guess if you meet me on the street, you will know where I'm coming from. In Jesus' name. Can somebody say me? Amen. Now, I'm going to give you one star. In Africa, when we go to church, I don't have to ask to say me amen. Amen? Now, you're going to grasp something from me today. Don't allow me to say, in Jesus' name, amen. If I say amen, you say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want it to be an interactive between you and I. You know why? I don't preach to dead people. Now, if you want to rest, you want to be sitting in a quiet place, I want to suggest, take your Bible, take your wife, move to the graveyard, and you sit at the graveyard for 10 hours, nobody will talk to you. Right? Who are they? Dead. And so I don't preach to dead people, I preach to people who are alive. Well, this morning I want to thank God for my friend and brother. We are brothers from different mother, but we have one father. But how are you black and Chris is white? We got one father. How are you happy? You want to know? Now, we have two different mothers. I have my mother, he has his mother, but we are brothers from one father. Can I work in America? Yes. Right? We have one father who is Jesus Christ. We got two different mothers who brought us, but we have one father. You are my sister, you are my brother, because we are from one father, in Jesus' name. I met Brother Chris online. The Facebook is good, but the Facebook is bad. It's good, but it's also bad. There are some things I see on the Facebook, it's unbearable. Equally so, there are some good things on the Facebook, right? If you walk to the market, you will find some good things that you love, and you go to the market, when you look, I don't want to see this thing. But it's in the market. You know what you do? Grab what you want to grab from the market. Grab what can help you on the Facebook. And then everything on the Facebook is going to help you. So here I met on the Facebook, we became friends with his outreach ministry, Godview Ministry. And we became friends almost 10 years now. I don't know how many of you get friends that you have maintained for 5 years. And I'm making you to understand, I'm going to slow down a little bit. In maintenance of friends, your friend will hurt you. And you will hurt your friend. What do you do to maintain friendship? Let it go. In a period of 10 years, I may have offended Chris. And in a period of 10 years, he may have offended me, right? What do we do? Here I am in Kushata. I think I got an open school for me to learn how to pronounce your city name. Kushata? Kushata. All right, I'm getting somewhere. Kushata. Amen. So we'll be friends. And I thank God that we met him, our friendship. We are still together. Through him, I'm here with you. You have seen me through him. And through me, somebody is going to see you somewhere around the world on Facebook this morning. We're getting live in Africa, around the world, somebody is seeing Christ. And around the world, somebody is seeing you. Why? Because somebody made a sacrifice to be here this morning. Now, this morning I want also. Now, in Africa, we go to church. In Africa, we worship God. We don't worship men. Are you with me? When we go to church in Africa, we want to make sure that we are in church. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because when we go to church in Africa, we go to church with our heart. With our heart. This morning, I want to talk to you from 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel 9, 1 to 10. 2 Samuel 9, 1 to 10. Now you see, America, you are blessed. So that, hey, Pastor, so they don't need to bring Bible, right? No, the Bible is there. America is blessed. Amen. In America, you can be in your car driving, then you get the Madonna. Hey, give me some Madonna, give me Coke, and give me this. Then you receive it and go. Then you walk to the pharmacy. I need pain relief. I need my back is spinning me. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are as 1 Samuel. We are as 1 Samuel, this 2 Samuel, this morning, 9, 10, 1 to 10. Amen. Now David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness?" That's our theme for today. Hallelujah. I must show him kindness for his father's sake. Now we're looking at 2 Samuel 9:1-10. Bible says we're going to take some information a little bit before we move forward. Now, you may want to know who is our major character in this sermon today. It's David. Amen. Now, but who was David, church? David was the son of Jesse. Oh, Pastor, how many children does Jesse have? 8. Were there girls among them? No, they were all boys. And one of Jesse's sons was in the army of Israel. He was a captain in the army of Israel. His name was Edward. He was in the army of Israel. He was fighting alongside the war when Goliath was tormenting the children of Israel. He was a captain in the army of Israel. Amen. I'm not trying to tell you who David was. And Bible says that when God rejected Saul, the Bible said that God sent a prophet in the house of Jesse to choose one of his sons. And I'm making it understand, church, no matter your condition, if God chooses you, you are choosing. Yeah. When God chooses you, you are choosing. Now, Samuel has arrived in the house of Jesse to anoint one of his sons. But who is his son? Even Samuel never knew the one that God has chosen. So when Samuel got into the house of Jesse, and that is 2 Samuel 16 now, the first Samuel 17:2, son of Jesse, then 1 Samuel 16, verses 1, God have sent Samuel in the house of Jesse to anoint the king. Because God had rejected Saul. Amen. And so God now told Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. I have to see one person, one of my servants in the house of Jesse. Go there. Samuel appeared in the house of Jesse. And Jesse was looking at the king to come from in his household. That's correct. But then Jesse wanted his older son, his son that he loved, to be the king. And so Samuel forgot, and Jesse forgot about David on the field. Why? David was taking care of his animal on the field, his sheep on the field. Samuel, Jesse forgot about his son. And I'm making it understand, sometimes men will forget about you, but God will not forget about you. He was on the field. And then here comes Samuel. He has arrived in the house of Jesse to anoint the king. And Jesse called 7 of his children. He forgot about David. Are you with me? So Samuel asked a question. Are these all your children? Oh, I got another one on the field. But he's a shepherd boy. Just forgot about him. He's taking care of the sheep on the field. Maybe try them for the second time. He said, no, God have not chosen these ones. And so, church, that made me to understand that God does not look at what men look at. Are you here? God does not look at what men look at. Men may look at the appearance, but God look at the inside. David came. And when Samuel made the attempt, the oil wasted on David. That's the character we're talking about today. But how old was David when David was anointed? He was 12 years old. Age doesn't matter when God chooses you. Now, how old was Jesus Christ when he walked in his father's house and he began to clean the temple? He was 12 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, how old was Joseph when he had a dream? He was 12 years old. Age doesn't matter when God chooses you. And so this morning we'll be talking about David. I just wanted you to know a little bit about David. It is saying David in 2 Samuel, in 1 Samuel 17, Bible says David faced Goliath, right? That's the David we'll be discussing about this morning. I just want to give you a little bit, little highlight of what we're talking about this morning. The man who killed Goliath. In Jesus' name. Now, let's go back to our topic this morning. 2 Samuel 9, 1 to 10. Amen. 2 Samuel 9, 1 to 10. You may have your Bible. I have my Bible. Second Samuel 9, 1 to 10. Well, I don't use the screen in Africa, so I use my Bible. Hallelujah. Now let me just read a few verses. Amen. Second Samuel 9, 1 to 10. I guess you're there, right? All right. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 2, there was a servant of Saul in the Saul household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David and the king said to him, Are you Ziba? Yes, I am Ziba. Your servant replied. The king asked, Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? And Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in boldness. I will tell you how he got crippled. In boldness. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he is at the house of Maacah, a son of Amara in Deba. So King David had him brought from Deba, from the house of Maacah, the son of Amara. Verse 6, mentioned when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down and paid honor. David said, Mephibosheth, your servant, he replied. Verse 7, don't you be afraid, David said to him, for your father's sake, I will respond to you all. I will restore to you the land that belongs to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Verse 8, Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Verse 9, then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I gave your male servant's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. Verse 10, you and your sons and your servant are, I'm going to read about one more again. You and your son and your servant are to farm the land of him and belonging in the man, bring the crops so that your master's grandson may have bread for him. And Mephibosheth, the grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. And Ziba fainted, 15 sons and 25 servants. Verse 11, let me help you. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever may the Lord the king commanded. This servant to him. And Mephibosheth ate at the king's table. Amen. Oh, you are here. Ooh, you see, look, I'm not used to this one. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if I have a team, I want to talk to you on the team. I will show you kindness for your father's sake. Amen. I will show you what? I'm not hearing you. I will show you what? For? Now, the reason why I'm asking you to repeat my sermon, when you get outside from church today, somebody going to ask you, what was the sermon? I can't remember, because you did not repeat it. Amen? I will show you kindness for your father's sake. Now, hear me, ladies and gentlemen, according to the rules of kingship, when a king dies, who takes over? The son, right? And so Jonathan should be the next king after King Saul. Are you with me? Now, here comes Jonathan has a friend called David. Now, how can I lose my kingship to a friend? Or to a friend? And that's going to be the president of America. And Pastor Chris is my friend. And when President Trump died, I was supposed to take over as a king or as a president. But then here come Pastor Chris is my friend. Now because we are friends, I said I'm going to wave my kingship to you because we are friends. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, that can take our life dollar and say I'm going to bless you because you're my friend? That was David. And Bible said many times King Saul was a man. It was something from epilepsy. When God removed his spirit from in him, he began to suffer epilepsy. Sometimes when the epilepsy is in him, the only thing that can comfort him is David. He was sent from the house of Jesse to call David, so David will play music for him, and as David is playing the music for him, the epilepsy will go away for him. That was David. And then when the epilepsy go for him, then the anger enter him against David. What is that? Several times, Bible said that Saul made an attempt to kill David. But David recognized that even though I am the appointed king, I am the king that I be at water for this kingdom, but somebody is still on the throne. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me make it an honest thing. I'm going to give you an example. Pastor Chris is a pastor. No matter what happened to him, recognize that he is your pastor. President Trump, you may hate Trump, right? You may hate Trump, but recognize that Trump is your president. David said, even though he wants to kill me, but he's still the president. Are you with me, church? And so, David and Saul became friends. Many times, Saul wanted to kill David because Saul had recognized that this is the next king of Israel, and so if I allow him to live, my son will not take over. And so it's happened. Somebody tell me one day. Let me hear one day. Let me hear one day. Somebody say one day. Somebody say one day. Here comes Saul. Well, Saul went to a war. And then he and his men was tired. And they went into a cave. And in that cave were David and his men. Are you with me? And so while they were in the cave, and then lying down, Saul and his men entered. They went to bed. And David was present. And David's men said, God has delivered this our your enemy unto you. It is now time for us to slaughter him. David's men said. And David said something, ladies and gentlemen. I know it is the time that God has delivered him into our hands, right? God has delivered him into our hands. But you know why? He is a chosen one for now. And so we will do all we can to protect him. And David walked to Saul quietly with his spear. He cut Saul's garment. Of course, he will have slaughtered him, right? But he cut his garment. Then he walked out. And he shouted, Saul, this is the garment. How the boy got my garment? Praise the Lord! How this boy got my garment? You know why? Church, David regretted the meaning, the second he ever caught the garment of Saul. He regretted. He said to himself, "Oh, God, forgive me because I have caught the garment of my leader." Now, church, how many times most upside down will bad mouth our leader? How many times? How many times some upset home in our chairs, in our car, we're relaxing, we're watching television, we're talking about our leaders? My Bible says we should pray for our leaders, right? Amen. We should pray for them. Saul, David will have killed Saul. He said, no. It's notoriety. Amen. And then death comes, death David, his friend, David and Saul, David and Jonathan, I changed garment. I gave him my shirt, you gave me your shirt. We are friends, we are covenant brothers. We will live together, we'll die together. I'm going to protect you, and you will protect me. We are friends, no matter what. I don't care what my father would love to do to you, I'm going to protect you. And David said, I am going to be with you, no matter the situation, no matter what, we are friends, covenant partners. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the children of God, no matter how many sins we sin, God is still there. God is still there. And so David and Jonathan exchanged garment of agreement. They exchanged garment of honesty. They are changed garment by faith. They are changed garment. Oh, we are friends. I'm going to protect you. Many times, Saul will set an ambush to kill David. And Jonathan will say, be on your guard. My father wants to kill you. Oh, what kind of man is David? Be on your guard. And through this, Saul will set an ambush to kill David. Judah will say, tomorrow, don't pass on the road because there are enemy on the road tomorrow. And David will stay away. The ambush will remain there for 24 hours. David can come around. Ladies and gentlemen, to summarize this sermon this morning, the Bible makes us understand that David, Jonathan died. In 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, my Bible says that when Jonathan died at the battlefront, he had a single son called Ziba. Now, but how Ziba became handicapped? Ziba had a servant called, or Mephibosheth, had a servant called Ziba. In the process of putting David's grandson on his own, David's son on her back to run away. Bible said that Mephibosheth fell from the back of David. On the back of Ziba. He got crippled on his legs from the male servant. And so David, Jonathan died. But when he died, at this time, church, it was not an opportunity for David to be the king in the land of Israel. He now sitting in the king throne. So he sat down one day, church, and he cried bitterly. He said to himself, where is my friend, Jonathan? Who stood with me when the going was tough? Who was there when there was tunnel was firing? Where is my friend? When I didn't have no food to eat, he was there. Where is my friend, Jonathan? When his father wanted to kill me, he was there. Where is my friend, Jonathan? Sometimes when I'm sick, he will bring me medicine to take. Where is my friend, Jonathan? Sometimes when the government gets tough, he is there. Where is he? He's dead. Woo! He cried bitterly. Then he asked a question. 1 Samuel 2 Samuel 1 to 10. Then he asked a question, church. But even though my friend is dead, I am mourning him, he's dead. Even though there's my friend who stood with me all the tough times of my life, he's dead. Even though my friend who was there for me, who gave me food to eat, is dead. Even though my friend who stood with me when I was sick, he's dead. Even though my friend who was there for me is dead. Now he's sitting in the king's chair. Woo. Sorry, sir. In the king's chair. He was asking those questions. I was down there, church, but I could imagine that he was in tears for his friend. He was in tears for his friend. Then he asked the question, church, but is there anybody left in the house of sorrow that I may show him kindness? For whose sake? Talk to me, huh? For whose sake? Oh, you are sleeping here. Somebody put a hand together for Jesus. I want to hear you clapping. Amen. Yes, that I may show his kindness for his father's sake. Do you know why? Your children may have offended somebody yesterday. Your own children. And what the person said? I wanted to call the police, but because I know your father. Are you with me? Some of your friends, some of your children, you got friends and you got your grandchildren, right? Some of your grandchildren may have offended somebody that knows you. That's why they save your. Hey, if I didn't think for your father, I will call the police. But your father is good to me. If I didn't think for your grandfather, I would take you to court. But for your father's sake. Hallelujah. Every day and every night, Satan wants to destroy us. But for our father's sake, we are under the canopy, the shadow, the umbrella of his son, Christ Jesus, that will save us. For your father's sake. And so they sent for this boy. He came. Are you Mojibiba? Yes. Are you Ziba? Yes. Oh, your father will come to me. Never imagine that they were in tears talking to the crippled boy. How many times have you sat down and think on the love of God towards you? How many times have you sat down and said, God, you sent your son, Jesus Christ, on the earth to die for my sin. How many times? How many times have you sat down, church, and think on the goodness of God? How many times have you sat down and said, God, you gave me breeze to breathe without not paying your sin? How many times have you sat down and said, God, you gave me the sun to shine on me, I am not paying the sin? How many times have you sat down, church, and said, oh God, you gave me a ring that I don't pay nothing for? How many times? But he sat down and he thanked. In Jesus' name, somebody say me, amen. Amen. He sat down and he remembered the goodness of somebody yesterday. The goodness of somebody yesterday. And I want all to sit down and remember the goodness of Christ Jesus. No need. Or he coming on the earth to die for you. No need. No need. Of course, he was not the only person in heaven, right? There were many others. But why, church, he had to come down and die for our sake? I want you to remember, for his goodness, for your sake. It is for your sake. He came down. Abandon his kingdom. Abandon everything he's doing. You may not be here this morning, but I want you to sit down and think the goodness of God, how he sent his only beloved son to die for you. Sit down. Only for your sake. No need of Christ coming to die for anybody. No need. But only for your sake. He died for you. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to remember the goodness of God in you. They have David remember the goodness of Jonathan. I want you to remember how Christ how God sent his only begotten son to die only for your sake. This morning. Somebody say me amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, this morning, I want to give you a little opportunity. I want to take my seat right now, but I believe in my heart that I came from Africa, from West Africa, Liberia, for somebody here in the congregation. I believe that. God want to touch somebody here in this church this morning. That's why I'm here. I want to preach a crusade in Nigeria. And the crusade, what people were all over. They hope they crowded from here to the main street, everybody there. And while in the service, a sick person in the hospital sent me a note to pray for them. I look at the crowd. I forgot about the one sheep in the hospital. And I told my friend, the crowd is too much. I can't leave the crowd and go to the hospital and pray for that person. Tomorrow morning, we'll go to the hospital and pray for that person. Well, my friends, okay. Before they could break church, the person died. He died. And then in the morning, somebody knocked at our door and said, hey, you know why? The man who sent you the note yesterday to go and pray for you in the hospital, he dead. Oh my God, I went on my knees and began to cry and I repented. God, forgive me. Maybe I came to this country where I want to die. But he died. Of course, maybe I was going to pray for him, he will receive, he will give a life to Christ before he died, right? Or maybe he was going to receive a healing through my prayer. But I, being a human man with flesh and blood, I look at the crowd, I forgot about the one sheep. Then he died. I cried like a baby in the hotel. Everybody was concerned, oh, what happened to the librarian pastor? What's happening to him? And I said to them, I lost a soul. I lost a soul. Somebody say me, amen. I lost a soul. I said, God, forgive me. Never am I going to repeat it again. Never. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I want to take this time to give you this golden opportunity. If we are here not knowing Christ in your life, I agree. You are a millionaire. You got everything. But hear me well, church. A millionaire without Christ, you are in crisis. You have no peace in your heart. You have no peace in your home. Because Christ being in your home, you have peace. The hope of glory. I want you to bob your heads with me. Just bob your heads. Bob your head. If you are here this morning in this church and you have said, Lord, for your son's sake, I want to give my life to you. I want to see your hands up. No matter how old you are, no matter who you may be, I want to see your hands up. If you are here not knowing Christ, if you are here, you are struggling, I want to see it. I want to pray along with you. Maybe I am in this church only because of one single person, maybe. Oh, I agree. You are a Christian, but you've been struggling with something in your life that is not fine. You are struggling with something in your life. With something in your heart, you are saying to yourself, even though I am a Christian, but I'm struggling with this one. I want to give you the opportunity. I want to pray along with you. Or you want to rededicate your life unto Christ. I want to pray along with you today. Let there be a testimony in your life. Today, let there be a new story in your life. Today, let God change your story around. Today. I want to give you one more second. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ today, make a knowing. My Bible says, if you are ashamed of me today, I will be ashamed of you tomorrow. In my father's house are many mansions. If you are here today, you want to prepare yourself for his kingdom. No, it's a time. Tomorrow will be late. You may not be in the service this morning. Hear me, you may be watching our live on Facebook. I want to give you this opportunity to bow your head and let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your children. I want you to repeat this prayer after me in church. I understand somebody, you may not want to take a step, but in your heart you are struggling. I want you to repeat this prayer with me right after me. Repeat it and say, Lord Jesus, I give my life unto you. I surrender unto you. Lord, I am your child. And Lord, forgive me and renew my strength once more. Say this prayer quickly in 1 minute so that you will give a life unto Christ today. While you are watching this video, you may be watching this video, bow your head now and let me pray all over. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive my life. Forgive my sin. I am your child. Renew my strength once more. Thank you, Father, for your son. Thank you for your children this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you have a special prayer, you can move forward. If you have a special needs and a prayer you want to pray for, you can move forward. I'm going to pray along with you. Always count on me to stand by you as your prayer partner. When the going gets tough, look up to me and look up to God. Count on me to always stand by you in the tough time and in the difficult time. I am going to be there with you. Count on me to always stand by you in prayer. In Jesus' name. Somebody say me, amen. Amen. What you want to pray for?
Is your mic still on?
In the story, David went way out of his way to find someone to show kindness to. Way out of his way. And he finds Mephibosheth in this place called Lodabar. Lodabar means no communication. It means no rest or no pasture. He goes to a place that is not sought after. He goes to a place that is hard. And he finds the lame and he picks them up and he takes them to the king's house. Let me tell you something. That's what Jesus got up this morning to do in your life. He came to go to Lodabar in your life and he came to find your legs lame or your finances hurt or your peace damaged. And he said, you know what? I want to pick you up and I want to make you whole again. I want to make you whole again. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you are so great. You are so great. As we conclude this service, I know that when every foot here hit the floor this morning, you said, I'm looking for somebody to show myself to. You're looking for somebody to show favor. To go to Lodabar, to go to that place that they are in pain and they are in anguish and they are in hurt, and to pick them up, to lift them up, to heal them, to deliver them, to set them free. Father, we pray upon every head your presence. We pray that you make the crooked places straight. We pray that you be God in their life greater than they have ever experienced it. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. And you're rising up and you're lying down, you're going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Would you give your response to me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Everybody shouted amen, amen. Please have a seat just one moment, just one moment. Please have a seat just one moment. Whenever a minister comes from abroad or internationally and they bring the word to you, we want to take up a love offering for him to send him on his way. I asked him, I said, when churches give you love offering, what do you do with them? I'm just curious, what do you do with them? And he takes out enough for his travel from here to Alabama, which is where he's going. And then the rest of it, he'll probably ask me to take him to Walmart and we'll wire it to Liberia. He doesn't keep it for fast food or candy bars or any luxury that he could buy. He sends it home. And it has an assignment. He tells his wife, the ones that are taking care of the ministry, he tells them what the money is going to go to. And his pastors that are there with him, the people that are there, they do what he asks. They take his wishes and they put an assignment on your seed and they put it to work. And it goes exactly to that. So in a moment, I'm going to call the ushers, please come forward. I want to receive an offering for Pastor Boyma as we send him forward. He'll either be leaving Coshocton tomorrow or Tuesday. And we want the Lord to richly bless him. Richly bless him indeed. Enlarge his coast. That's the prayer of Jabez. Enlarge his coast. That's what we pray for. Please do not forget to look at what's going on in the back. At the next church business meeting, we will I will have some missionary options for us to briefly discuss, for you to pray about. And if the church, the ministry, so seeks to get involved with his ministry right there in Liberia to reach and to touch, not to give a dollar to somebody on the TV, every dollar goes to Liberia. We'll discuss that. And after we pray, after we seek, we'll move forward. If you have anything that you would like to ask him or say to him, please hang around. He'd be more than happy to speak to you. Ushers, would you come on forward? Would you like to say something?
While we are doing the special offering, we want to show you a video of the project we're doing in Liberia.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. Father, I ask that you take the seed sown today, that you take this extra offering, Lord, that you put it to kingdom use. Father God, that it go forward, that it would be multiplied, that it would be used with the utmost of wisdom and seeking your face, that it would win souls to Jesus Christ. This ministry is set out to reach millions of people by the year 2020. Is vision, Lord, and I pray that every seed helps to him to reach that vision, to reach those people, to change their lives, to bring Jesus in and allow him to remodel their life. Father, we thank you so much for every person that gives. I know that you show them favor, you show them grace. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.